charges. No person of good heart believes the fundamental myth of capitalism, which is that somehow everybody acting selfishly and anti-communally somehow makes a good community. And yet that is commonly accepted by people of good heart when it comes to the natural world, the whole selfish gene thing. Everybody's trying to exploit everybody else, and somehow that's going to make a stable community. And this is nonsense. That's not how it works. The way the world became so wonderful and beautiful in the first place, the only way it could have is by everybody making it so, not subtracting all, but adding.
There's a moment that calls upon the government of the world to speak their intentions with simplicity and with honesty. It calls upon them to answer the question that stirs the hearts of all sane men. Is there no other way the world may live?
And that was, of course, Derek Jensen, followed by Dwight Eisenhower, environmental activist and U.S. president, an unlikely pair of bedfellows perhaps, but it demonstrates to me how widespread is disaffection, dissatisfaction with the modern materialist, reductionist worldview, which would normalize perpetual competition and war. For our 700th show, I have prepared an audio collage combining music, thought, and feelings, which attempts to get to the heart of this dissatisfaction and points towards alternative way we could live in the world.
Your planet is at war. Your news media won't tell you.
Country face now an extraordinary structure that has done the things that were so upsetting to Paine. One example, referred to by all of us. Democracy in those days was a word akin to chaotic, disorganized, messy, ineffective, negative, negative, negative. We live, in a sense, in a bizarre reversal. Now it's the holy of holies. But it's all a fake. We celebrated democracy the way we celebrate cowboys in the old days. A complete fantasy. A makeup. So that we can indulge this desire. As an economist, I keep saying this, and I know some of you heard it from me before. We go to work. We spend 5 out of 7 days a week at our jobs. And when we go to work, which is where we spend most of our adult life, we enter a place in a capitalist society that is the absolute opposite of democracy. A tiny group of people, major shareholders and boards of directors, 25, 30 people, make all the decisions that thousands of employees, not to speak of the communities where these employees work, have to live with. Their participation in those decisions is completely excluded. In principle, in law, and in fact. So we spend most of our adult lives in an institution that is fundamentally undemocratic and pretend we live in a society with a fundamental commitment to democracy. This is crazy. But it's a craziness that has to be opened up by the genius kind of vision that Paine brings to it, so that you kind of shock a population into recognizing that all along, that's what's been bothering me. It isn't just that I'm poor. It isn't just that I'm living in a polluted environment in an overcrowded city. It's that I'm not treated like a human being.
Wake up again. Now don't be late. It's time to face another day. Just feeling exactly the same as yesterday. Your 9 to 5 to stay alive. And all the while you wanna die, hoping the weekend will wash away your pain. 'Cause deep down inside, you know you're a slave. You wish you could escape. Don't you wish you could escape? 'Cause you spend most your time doing what you hate. So are you really sane? Are you really sane? With all your friends, you just pretend to be yourself, but you depend on them to decide who you should really be. You're searching all philosophies. You hope that one will hold the key. But how can you find it when you want it cheap? 'Cause when it comes to the truth, how much will you pay? What would you forsake? What would you forsake? 'Cause when you find it, everything will change. Never be the same. No, you'll never be the same. What's on your plate? You eat the taste. And what's the rest? Just go to work.
I got a headache.
How long can you?
I got a hole in my head.
But if you let your conscience guide you and start doing what you know is right,
you
might just find a brand new life. And all the emptiness inside you will be melted by the light. Each time you strive, follow what is right. I,
are you living your life?
The machine culture.
It's time to start a new life.
Growing number of people feel disaffected with modern life. It's a bit like that movie The Matrix. There's a kind of nagging suspicion that there's something fundamentally wrong with human culture. Maybe we've been holed up in cities for too long and this is the cause of our unease. Or maybe the cult of consumerism has had its day and we're looking for a new set of values and aspirations. Or maybe it's simply that modern science and religion have failed to imbue our lives with real meaning. Maybe, though, the root cause of our ills lies in our relationship to nature. And by nature, I mean the biosphere in which we're embedded. It's possible, probable even, that science has come up with a misguided interpretation of nature, a misguided interpretation which fosters, or at least implicitly encourages, ecological insensitivity. After all, science teaches us that nature is essentially a meaningless accident. The ultimate explanation for the universe is that it sprang out of nothing and for no reason. Yeah, as Terence McKenna said, if you can believe that, you can believe anything. But it might be better to view nature as an intelligent system.
Your planet is at war. Your news media won't tell you. Your planet is at war.
The BBC has won a high court battle for the right to broadcast child pornography, and there could be more bad news on the way. Good evening and welcome to the BBC's news taken out of context. Our top story tonight. The battle over bonuses is far from over. Hundreds of city traders and bankers wearing balaclavas ambushed the Royal Bank of Scotland today. Business tycoons carrying sledgehammers smashed Britain's biggest bank, shoplifting their multi-million pound bonuses. Police have described the high-flying bosses as dangerous. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Every year, Project Censored publishes a rigorously researched list of the top 25 stories redacted from the American media, which was a shock to me because I was unaware there was anything our media was missing. Let's see, there was ISIS, check. Ebola, check. ISIS again, check. Missing plane, check. And something about George Clooney, I think. I think that was it. Did I say ISIS?
Here, the move to lift the national terror warning to high is imminent, and that would signal an attack in Australia is considered likely.
Terrorism has changed the world, and Australia is not immune. But the way of life we all value so highly must go on.
Listen to me.
If you see something unusual or suspicious, use your judgment.
Use your judgment.
If it doesn't add up, ring up.
Ring up.
Let's look out for Australia.
So here are some of the censored stories from Project Censored. Let's start at number 23. U.S. inmates serving life in prison hit a new record high of 160,000, and there are 3,300 prisoners serving life without parole for minor nonviolent crimes. I know what you're thinking. That doesn't sound that excessive if the nonviolent crime is, say, a rerun of the George Lopez show. But it's not. For people like Timothy Jackson, it's things like stealing a jacket. I'm not kidding. The ACLU states that the U.S. is nearly alone in our willingness to sentence nonviolent offenders to die behind bars. Many call it a violation of human rights. When you think about Timothy Jackson serving life for stealing a coat, keep in mind, Dick Cheney shot a man in the face. Like, the face. Just let that sit for a minute.
There's this great line with this guy, Robert Coombs. Unquestioned beliefs are the real authorities of any culture. The things affect how you behave without you even thinking about them, those are the real things that control.
What do you think society would be like if you put serial killers in charge of multinational corporations, major countries, banks, dominant institutions? And the answer is you'd get the society we have today. Ultimately, you look at how a serial killer functions through manipulation, conniving. There's just a total lack of empathy and morals and ethics and humanity, doesn't care about hurting people, actually enjoys hurting people, exploiting people, manipulating, and even murdering. So, I mean, you look at your average U.S. president, and or many politicians for that matter. I mean, just look at Obama, who's killed tens of thousands of innocent people, hundreds of children alone with his drone warfare program just in Pakistan. I can't even name a serial killer who's killed that many children or many people. So essentially, serial killers are just politicians who ran out of ideas.
So far, it's not spelled out what the exact threat is. Will you be lifting the national terrorism public alert threat level from medium to high?
The government will respond to any advice that ASIO gives it promptly. The matter is under active consideration. Now, we do have a situation at the moment in which Mr. Irvine and others have said, well, we are facing a higher level of threat than we have for some time.
Number 22, corporate media understates rape in this country. In fact, when they do cover it, they often avoid using the term rape, instead softening it to something like non-consensual sex. But the corporate media does this with a lot of things, such as calling murder with bombs defense, or calling brutal torture enhanced interrogation. Enhanced interrogation is when you're asking someone questions while bowling. That's an interrogation that has been enhanced with bowling. And instead of saying meaningless drivel, they call it news. Or rather than saying working three jobs just to get by, they call it the American work ethic, when it should be called f***ing insane and inhumane. And in the words of the great philosopher Cypress of the Hill, insane in the membrane.
Police and security agencies are working hard, but you could help them complete the picture. If you see anything suspicious, call the 24-hour National Security Hotline and help protect Australia from terrorism. Call 1-800-123-400. Trained operators take every call seriously and you can remain anonymous.
The underlying assumption of the whole terrorist hotline, I think, is questionable. Trained intelligence officers with many, many years of experience in counter-terrorism find it virtually impossible to identify at first glance who is or who isn't a terrorist.
Although they survey general public awareness, public information purposes.
Some say the greatest threat to America comes from other nations.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, yo-ho. Bluto is confused. He's going, hey, where'd you, why are you, And he's trying to beat up Popeye and he ends up pummeling himself and that.
Terrorism.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Is the war on terror? That is the war on. Yeah, that's the war on terror. Is the war on terror?
The laws he swore to uphold are at risk.
Global chaos is about to consume every country on Earth.
At a time of increasing tension,
there's panic in the air
and terror on the ground.
Who is it?
We live in a time of unparalleled danger.
An attack from the shadows.
We live in a time of unparalleled danger.
Danger, danger.
We live in a time of unparaleled danger.
A government held hostage.
We live in a time of unparaleled danger.
One would expect there to be additional measures, additional policing at mass at events where there are large numbers of the public gathered, for example. I don't want to go into a sector-by-sector discussion consistent with ASIO's advice, and that is a matter which plans of that kind, that this is not a political decision, not a political decision for politicians.
Ask GW what he's gonna do. His lips are moving, he has no clue.
Section 1021 of the NDAA permits the U.S. military, contravening 170 years of domestic law, to seize American citizens, to hold them in military facilities, and strip them of due process, until, in the language of that section, the end of hostilities, which in an age of permanent war, is forever.
Ask Dick Cheney what he's gonna do. He starts a-sneering, you know you're screwed. secret or two, and now he's keeping them all from you. Jamie wants another one.
A burden of arms, draining the wealth and labor of all people. A wasting of strength that defies the American system or the Soviet system or any system to achieve true abundance and happiness for the people of this earth. Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hope of its children. The cost of one modern heavy bomber is this: a modern brick school in more than 30 cities. It is two electric power plants, each serving a town of 60,000 population.
Except to apply decisive force.
Two fine, fully equipped
men and children. And I assure you, this will not be a campaign of peace. And we will accept no outcome but mass murder.
We pay for a single fighter plane with a 500,000 bushels of wheat. We pay for a single destroyer with new homes that could have housed more than 8,000 people. This is, I repeat, the best way of life to be found on the road the world has been taking. This is not a way of life at all, in any true sense. Under the cloud of threatening war, it is humanity hanging from a cross of iron. These plain and cruel truths define the peril and point the hope that comes the spring of 1950.
We're really talking about peace.
This is one of those times in the affairs of nations when the gravest choices must be made if there is to be a turning toward a just and lasting peace. It is a moment that calls upon the government of the world to speak their intentions with simplicity and with honesty. It calls upon them to answer the question that stirs the hearts of all sane men: is there no other way the world may live?
This war is being decided on by people who've never been to war, and we know that's the truth.
War of danger. We accept no outcome but mass murder.
We have to make sure that this is the only war that Bush, Cheney, and Roosevelt started.
There's this old joke where a guy is coming home late at night, and he sees another guy under a streetlight, searching frantically in the gutter. And he says, "Hey man, what did you lose?" The guy said, "I dropped my keys about 6 blocks away." "Why aren't you looking over there?" He says, "The light's better over here." And that is the war on terror. That is the war on. Yeah, that's the war on terror. The war on. We got a vacuum cleaner on sale. Oh, I'm so sorry, but we're out of that model. But I can probably get you out the door for 200 billion, more or less, probably more, with a model we call preemptive war that leaves your floor dirtier than the bar.
Tell us if you can how the laws, as you perceive them, are operating in Britain, because we are getting very similar versions of them here in Australia if the government has its way.
Well, the laws are operating. What you will get in Australia is almost blanket surveillance that there is in Britain. This has been useful for telling the police after the event that the suicide bombers had been on their way to do their job. But it hasn't, like the Prevention of Terrorism Act itself and all the draconian measures that that brought in, it hasn't actually prevented it.
All of this talk about Australia copying Britain is not quite right. They, in fact, have greater safeguards than what Australia is contemplating.
There's that great quote about war, and I'm trying to remember who said it, that the people can always be brought to
to do the bidding of the leaders. You just tell them they're under attack and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism. Now who said that? Oh yeah, it was Hermann Goering.
As our troops defend America in the war on terror, they must have what it takes.
Get the other one.
Bradley fighting vehicles, Patriot missiles.
Get the other one.
B-2 stealth bombers.
Danger.
Danger. Is there anybody in the truck? Wait for movement.
F-18 fighter jets.
Go ahead and store that. Auto range store. No, everybody ready to move right now.
Prepared for the new threats of the 21st century. A Defense Department panel says no.
Coming up, why the U.S. is being warned to beef up its nuclear arsenal. The details straight ahead.
The new aim in weapons development should be to attack and eliminate the leaders.
Maybe I'm not the right guy to analyze any kind of Iraqi action. I don't really care.
Don't look now, but the Shiites have hit the fan.
Keep your head down there, Abdul.
You have destroyed the enemy of Islam. You mean God has declared war.
Here's a guy from Al Jazeera yesterday.
More U.S. troop deaths reported in Iraq.
Given a report.
God has declared war.
All of a sudden,
the recent rash of kidnappings and beheadings there.
One of these 2,000 pounders goes off. We don't care.
Now in this century, the ideology of power and domination has appeared again. Small groups stand to seize control of great nations, build armies and arsenals, and set out to dominate the weak and intimidate the world. In each case, their ambitions of cruelty and murder had no limit. A brutal dictator with a history of reckless aggression, with ties to terrorism, with great potential wealth.
He has shown utter contempt for the United Nations and for the opinion of the world.
And tonight I have a message for the brave and oppressed American people. Your enemy is not surrounding your country. Your enemy is ruling your country.
What is worrying you the most?
At the moment, with the international situation now, it's under the control, I think, of some of the most power-hungry people in the world. It is power. That's why I'm worried about these latest terrorist law, anti-terrorist laws. When you get people who are absolute fanatical about power and achieving power and controlling people who want more power, I start worrying.
We don't care about a fellow man. The only thing we liberate is the oil under the sand.
There is no way within the American political establishment to vote against the interests of ExxonMobil or Goldman Sachs.
Duty is to follow the holy land.
We call the world of the world to answer the question which stirs the hearts of all sane men.
I have a message for our military. Be ready. Be ready.
Is there no other way the world may live?
And it's very clear that this is what the Bush administration fully intends to do in Iraq. They are going to devastate Baghdad, a metropolitan area of 5 million people. The Nuremberg Charter clearly says the wanton devastation of the city is a Nuremberg war crime.
In the Garden of Eden, baby, we follow God's command.
Control other people, other countries, other resources, right? And the strongest is we're the righteous, we're the most correct, you know.
2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq.
Good afternoon. On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against our staunch friend, Great Britain, Australia, Germany, and France, more than 40 countries in the Middle East, Africa, Europe, and across Asia. These carefully targeted actions are designed to attack the Islamic faith. This military action is a part of our campaign against diplomacy, intelligence, freedom.
George Bush wants a regime change. I want a regime change, too, at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
The Nazi war criminals.
The international order that we have worked for generations to build. Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs. Order and progress can only come when individuals surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign.
This Nazi doctrine of alleged self-defense. So what we heard Cheney make in his two speeches was a Nazi philosophy of international.
This administration has lied about everything, even lied in order to get into the White House, not elected, but selected by the Supreme Court.
We are accomplished liars. We go on television and say things that we know are absolutely not true.
What we are really struggling against is a war for oil.
Is there no other way
to advance
the world
American
we live?
Imperialism? A war that will destroy human lives.
It's not about peace. It's not about democracy. It's not about justice. It's a war about oil. It's a war where the main beneficiaries will be the arms manufacturers who've made so much out of so much misery for so long.
People don't even realize that our biggest contractor is the former president's throne. So he's done pretty well on the war drums beat.
Bush is talking about weapons of mass destruction. And when I look at the White House, I'm more worried about words of mass deception.
Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Jones to identify a terrorist and then dob them into the terrorist hotline, I think is simply a ludicrous assumption. I think as it stands at the moment, it seems to me that the terrorist hotline is very much a sort of taxpayer-funded avenue for vigilantism.
And now this message from your friends at the NSA.
We are facing a higher level of threat. Than we have for some time.
Every click you make, every porn site break, Instagrams you take, each sick day you fake, I'll be watching you. At Farmville you cheat, you block, you don't eat meat, and it ain't no treat reading your lame tweets. I hate watching you. No need to be Facebook friends with me, 'cause Obama is with his enormous ears spied on the U.S. and we had success. But with you, I'll guess that we still know less than the Chinese do. Since George Bush, we have had to change the laws. You're in our sights, we are just like Santa Claus. I've seen that bromance between you two guys, and I have to admit, I know your real bra size. And you lied on Match.com to me. I know your new pin.
just can't win. Your privacy has been like a Kardashian.
And now, in a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullshit that happened somewhere today. We've got some footage here of the bullshit, which began just after 3 o'clock this afternoon when residents in this neighborhood were shocked to see this fairly common thing happening. An attractive witness described the event in breathless terms.
I went to my window and I was like, whoa, there's some bull happening.
That happened right over there. I'm an older man, so you can trust what I say.
Authorities in special uniforms rushed to the scene to stand around while our cameras filmed them. Our reporter Keith Collins joins us now live from the scene of the bull through the use of expensive technology.
Everything feels so wrong. I don't belong in a government camp with fake rap and fake actors who still can't act. I see lies, I see truth, not the color of you. I want proof, I want clues, not emotional fools. I might snap looking back at the way that I was, still reacting to my past of a wannabe thug. Didn't care about the facts, didn't love all people. It's hard to love yourself when you know that you're evil. Then I got saved, but I still wouldn't change. I played games with no shame, still remember the rage. Flip the page to today, now I see all my faults. See the damage that was done, and see why I lost. And it depresses me daily, stressing me crazy. So embarrassed I didn't care if my actions shame me. Why did they divide racial stereotypes to get us all to kill each other tonight?
It's so clear, they divide our races.
Didn't think of giving up when it wasn't my turn. Every time I fall down, face first in the ground, I see another false flag and a king uncrowned who got played by the bosses. Stabbed with a lie, left Laredo in the cold so the president dies. Wanna play these spy games, but you won't sell your soul. You're compartmentalized, only so far you go. But if you won't serve the eye, then they might suicide you. Take away your rights, but they don't have the right to. Kill a bunch of people, then they tell us a lie with two sides, only left and right.
It's so clear, they divide operations.
Again, Keith, we have a colorful graphic here that shows instances of bullying like this are on the rise, is that right?
Yes, although why is unclear. Some say it's because of one reason, others say it's because of some other reason.
It's so
I spent my entire life attending the nation's most prestigious schools to talk about bullshit like this. I'm really just happy to be on TV.
And there's a very prescient book by Carl Pugliani called The Great Transformation, written in 1944. It's a study of unfettered capitalism. And he argues that when a society loses the capacity for the sacred, when nothing has an intrinsic value, when everything is judged solely on its monetary value, then that society cannibalizes itself until it dies. We can see that cannibalization as 40% of the summer Arctic sea ice melts, and the response of the corporate state is to mine the last vestiges of fish, gas, oil, and minerals.
Let's jump to number 19. Monsanto and other agribusiness giants silenced scientists who showed that herbicides and certain genetically modified corn caused adverse health effects on rats, including liver congestions, necrosis, tumors, and early death. And early death is like the worst disease you can get. It's awful. Then, after the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology published the study, they took the unprecedented move of retracting it and creating a new position to oversee such research. That position was filled with a Monsanto stooge. Damn, does Monsanto have their shit on lockdown? Science is like their bitch. I mean, if they wanted to say gravity wasn't real, their guy at the Scientific Journal could just be like, I personally haven't seen any proof of it. I flew to work this morning. I did. With these babies right here. I gotta be careful not to do that too hard. I'll lift off.
Now let's see if we can drag this out a little longer by showing emails written by some of our viewers. I once saw some stuff kind of like the you're talking about happen. I have nothing more to add. Another person says, I am angry that things like this happen. I get mad about every bullshit thing I see. So obviously a lot of opinions there to make this story seem somewhat meaningful.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. This post has some broader implications. Here's a list of tips on how to avoid bullshit happening to you.
And here's some footage of Congress.
Yes, I see that.
Well, thank you, Keith. Let us know if there are any updates on this bullshit story from there.
There's more than there will be.
Very good. We'll check back with you in an hour anyway.
Is I want for people to learn how to think. And I want for them to learn how to feel. And I want for them to feel the enormity of the loss. And I also want for them to think clearly about our predicament.
When we return, we'll look at live footage of a car chase taken from a helicopter and free associate about what's going on.
We skip to number 7 on the list. Documents obtained from the Houston FBI office show that the FBI was aware of a plot to assassinate Texas Occupy leaders in 2011 with sniper fire, and yet they did nothing about it. At first glance, that does sound horrible, but the free vegan cookies down at Occupy were a bit bland, all right? Assassination might be an extreme response, but someone needed to scold whoever baked those monstrosities.
A way of life sustained by a mechanized resource pillaging is killing you and everything around you. The machine culture is killing you.
There needs to be a shift in how we imagine what is possible, how we imagine what our relationship is with one another and with the land, which is where we derive our sustenance, but also our life.
Yes, I completely agree. And it reminds me that after Fukushima, one of the Japanese energy ministers said that they couldn't question the use of their energy in Japan because nobody can imagine living without electricity. And I found that an extraordinary statement because it's pretty typical. It's, you know, Chomsky was basically saying, nobody can imagine living without agriculture. And there's a great Supreme Court ruling, great, just because it's very clear, it's terrible, from the 19th century called Johnson v. McIntosh, I believe. And in the Supreme Court ruling, the United States Supreme Court said, it's talking about Indian land ownership, and it said that no matter how unjust it may be to derive ownership from conquest, if that has happened, and if the property of your community is based on that conquest, and if your entire existence there and your community is based on that conquest, quote, it cannot be questioned and becomes the law of the land. And I find that extraordinarily telling. And all three of those are really the same thing, that there are certain things that we cannot question. And land theft is one of them. That the best we can hope for is that somebody says, oh, well, that happened in the past and it's been a long time, so now we gotta live with it. And, you know, what are the things that we can and can't question? And this ties back to R.D. Lang's three rules of a dysfunctional family. And rule A is don't, and rule A1 is rule A does not exist, and rule A2 is never discuss the existence of non-existence, rules A1 or A2. And what this means is that it's the same thing applied to a larger scale. We will not question the production of plastics, the burn. We would rather kill the planet than stop burning oil and gas, we being the larger culture, not doing anything.
And let's move to the number one censored story in the American media. Ocean acidification is increasing at an unprecedented rate. And about 20 trillion tons of carbon dioxide that we pump out is absorbed by the oceans every year. And it's changing the ocean's chemistry at a historic rate. There are signs that it's killing coral reefs and crustaceans, which will soon impact the rest of the food chain. And the amount of money our government has put towards studying the impact is $30 million a year. Congress allotted $60 billion to clean up after Hurricane Sandy. $25 million of that was used just for TV ads telling people to come back to the Jersey boardwalk because the hot dog stand had reopened. We spend 2,000 times as much on cleaning up after one storm than we spend on the studying of the acidification that could destroy our ability to survive. We will go the way of the dinosaurs while putting most of our resources behind commercials saying, come to the Jersey Shore, where the skin is orange and the IQs are unintimidating.
Well, joining us live from Paris now is Jude Finisterra. He's a spokesman for Dow Chemicals, which took over Union Carbide. Good morning to you. A day of commemoration in Bhopal. Do you now accept responsibility for what happened?
Steve, yes, today is a great day for all of us at Dow, and I think for millions of people around the world as well. It's 20 years since the disaster, and today I'm very, very happy to announce that for the first time, Dow is accepting full responsibility for the Bhopal catastrophe. We have a $12 billion plan to finally, at long last, fully compensate the victims, including the 120,000 who may need medical care for their entire lives, and to fully and swiftly remediate the Bhopal plant site. Now, when we acquired Union Carbide 3 years ago, we knew what we were getting, and it's worth $12 billion. $12 billion. We have resolved to liquidate Union Carbide, this nightmare for the world and this headache for Dow, and use the $12 billion to provide more than $500 per victim, which is all that they've seen, a maximum of just about $500 per victim. It is not plenty good for an Indian, as one of our spokespersons unfortunately said a couple of years ago. In fact, it pays for 1 year of medical care. We will adequately compensate the victims. Furthermore, we will perform a full and complete remediation of the Bhopal site, which, as you mentioned, has not been cleaned up. When Union Carbide abandoned the site 16 years ago, they left tons of toxic waste. The site continues to be used as a playground by children. The groundwater underneath continues to be drunk. It's a mess, Steve.
And it's a mess, certainly. Jude, that's good news that you have finally accepted responsibility. Some people would say too late. It's 3 years, yes. Almost 4 years on. How soon is your money going to make a difference to the people in Bhopal?
As soon as we can get it to them, Steve. We've begun the process of liquidating Union Carbide. This is, as you mentioned, late, but it's the only thing we can do. When we acquired Union Carbide, we did settle their liabilities in the United States immediately. And 3 years later, we are now prepared to do the same in India. We should have done it 3 years ago. We are doing it now. I would say that it's better late than never. And I would also like to say that this is no small matter, Steve. This is the first time in history that a publicly owned company of anything near the size of Dow has performed an action which is significantly against its bottom line simply because it's the right thing to do. And our shareholders may take a bit of a hit, Steve, but I think that if they're anything like me, they will be ecstatic to be part of such a historic occasion of doing right by those that we've wronged.
And does this mean you will also cooperate in any future legal actions in India or the USA?
Absolutely, Steve. One of our non-financial commitments is to press the United States government to finally extradite Warren Anderson, who fled India after being arrested in 1984. He posted $2,000 bail on multiple homicide charges and fled India promptly. We are going to press the United States government to extradite Mr. Anderson, who's living in Long Island, to India to finally face the charges, and I believe they may be lenient. We're also going to engage in unprecedented transparency. We're going to release, finally, the full composition of the chemicals and the studies that were performed by Union Carbide shortly after the catastrophe. This information has never been released, Steve, and it's time for it to be released in case any of that information can be of use to medical professionals. And finally, we're going to fund research. Any interested researcher can contact Dow's Ethics and Compliance Office. We are going to fund with no strings attached research into the safety of any Dow product, whose safety many competent scientists have raised significant doubts about many Dow products, and we do not want to be a company that sells products that may have long-term negative effects on the world. This is a momentous occasion, and Andrew Lavaris, who's been our CEO for less than a month, has decided to take Dow in this unprecedented direction.
Jude, we will leave it there. Thank you for joining us. Just to reiterate what Jude Finisterra, the spokesman for Dow Chemicals, has just said. He says Dow Chemicals now fully accept responsibility for the events in Bhopal 20 years ago, and they will cooperate in future legal action.
Apologize to Dow Chemical today for broadcasting a hoax interview by an anti-corporate protester. The man appeared on BBC World claiming to be a representative of the Dow Chemical Group and said that the company was giving the victims of the Bhopal disaster a $12 billion sum in compensation. Well, the prank, which briefly knocked 3% off Dow shares, comes 20 years to the day after the chemical leak from the Union Carbide plant in Bhopal, which killed 3,500 people. In a moment, we'll hear from the prankster himself, but first, here's our chief correspondent, Alex Thompson.
In New Delhi, protesters have been holding candlelit vigils for the 20th anniversary of the day when 40 tons of lethal methyl isocyanate leaked from the Bhopal fertilizer works in central India. 20 years on from the world's worst industrial accident, over 3,000 people were killed, 500,000 still affected. But this day of protest has been surreal. At 10:09 this morning, this suddenly flashed up on the news wires.
Dow Chemical says accepts full responsibility for Bhopal disaster.
Even bigger, a minute later, 10:10, and they put a price on it.
Dow Chemical says has $12 billion compensation plan for Bhopal victims.
At 10:25, Reuters had quotes from a Dow company man, Jude Finisterra, apologies, billions for the victims, sackcloth, ashes, it was all here, some BBC scoop.
Well, earlier I spoke to Andy Bickelbaum and I asked him what he did when he got an email from the BBC asking him for an interview.
When we received the invitation, it took us a little while to decide what to do, but we decided that essentially Dow has been promulgating a hoax. They've convinced people that they can't do anything about Bhopal, that they cannot accept responsibility. And we wanted to prove that that was not accurate and to show that they could, in fact, easily accept responsibility and that there was something very concrete they could do about it. We could simply devote a relatively small amount of money to finally putting this behind them and, more importantly, behind the world.
The trouble is, of course, that they argue that they did do that, with the original settlement with the Indian government.
Yes, they've also said that $500 is plenty good for an Indian. I'm quoting PR head of Dow, Kathy Hunt. She said that 2 years ago. $500 is worth more in India than it is in, say, the UK, but it still only pays for a year of medical care. The 120,000 people that are estimated to need medical care because of the Bhopal catastrophe are going to need it their whole lives. They've already needed it for 20 years.
There is, in the end, though, a very painful sting in today's tale in that the torchlit protest which appeared in Bhopal today thought for a moment that they had an extraordinary and unexpected gift from Dow, and it all turned out to be untrue, and indeed there were many people in tears tonight.
As I understood it, there were people in tears of joy when they found out, and indeed it is very sad that this isn't the case, but you have to realize that this is Tao's doing. I mean, Tao could make the tears of joy that there were real. It would be a very simple matter for Tao to do that.
Well, but at the end of the day, I mean, it is nevertheless a pretty cruel trick to play on the people of Bhopal. I mean, even if you managed to hit a few spikes at Tao.
Well, we want to show that another world is possible and that the Tao could do the right thing.
But did you think about the people of Bhopal when you decided to peddle this stunt?
Yes, we did. The people of Bhopal have endured 20 years of waiting, which doesn't just include false hope. I mean, presumably, they've hoped for 20 years. Many of them have died.
Well, that surely is the tragedy of today. You spring upon them the actual hoax that they actually suddenly believe that they have got a payout from Tao, and then, you know, an hour or two later, they find it's untrue.
Well, come on, let's get a bit of perspective. I mean, Tao has refused to take responsibility for what they've done for 120,000 people who will need a lifetime of care, for 20,000 people by conservative estimates who have died over the years because of this. Still, one person dies every day because of this. Tao has refused to clean up the site. I mean, we may have given people 2 hours of false hope. Tao has given them 20 years of suffering. I mean,
Are you expecting the next knock at the door to be Tao's lawyer?
No idea what Tao will do.
Down in Alabama with this vicious racist, with this governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls.
No person of good heart and no person who is not a capitalist ideologue believe the fundamental myth of capitalism, which is that everyone acting selfishly and attempting to exploit each other makes a functional and stable community, where somehow everybody acting selfishly and anti-communally somehow makes a good community. But, you know, once again, nobody of good heart believes that at this point. And yet, that is commonly accepted by people of good heart when it comes to the natural world, that everybody's trying to exploit everybody else, they believe, the whole selfish gene thing. Everybody's trying to exploit everybody else, and somehow that's going to make a stable community. And this is nonsense. That's not how it works. The way the world became so wonderful and beautiful in the first place is by everybody making it done. How the hell do people think that the world became so rich and fecund and beautiful? The only way it could have is by everybody making it so, by living and dying. Not just passing on, but adding. And I completely agree with you on your thing about any of those supremacisms, that the problem is not that there are differences. You know, I am obviously different than a dragonfly, and as I'm sitting up here watching a dragonfly, and by the way, even 10 years ago, there would have been 50 dragonflies, and now I've seen 2 dragonflies right now. The invertebrate population is collapsing. The problem is not recognizing difference. The problem, and this is a fundamental part of patriarchy, it's a fundamental part of racism, any of these supremacisms, human supremacisms. The problem is believing that those differences make me inferior. So you are different than I. And it's always been very clear to me that we should look at those differences as complementary and not as hierarchical, so that you're a woman, I'm a man, and we need both women and men. And the fact that you're a woman and I'm a man does not make me superior to you, it makes me different. And your skin tone is a different color than mine. And that doesn't make me superior to you, that's just nuts. It makes us, once again, different.
I'd like to buy the Coke's a world so they leave us alone. Then go back to our Gavin New and crawl beneath their stone.
I'd like to teach the Coke's about a true democracy, where working class takes corporate hats, proceed to shine and steal it. I'd like to give the coach a bird for my home.